They have been suppressed right and left here, and indeed it has gone over from the field of governmental violation to a non-governmental violation in private entertainment fields like radio, even television, movies, and publishing.
Would you say that Senator McCarthy is a part of that threat?
I'm afraid he is, because McCarthy has kept the American people stirred up over an alleged threat of communist insurrection here, and it seems to me has gone much too far in the direction of suppressing, actually, the Bill of Rights and making everybody scared to death, so that people now adopt what they call self-censorship in order to not go out of their
clay, and it's all broken and cracked over, rather like a clay pot or something like this, and the sun has dried the whole of this surface. It's just like the moon. And in the distance, a black cliff. Big, towering black cliff.
And I looked into the distance. And as I looked, so the sun began to rise, began to come up over the mountain. Glorious sunshine. And I looked into the distance.
And I could hear this voice, this woman singing. I couldn't hear what she was singing. It was a foreign voice. I knew that I was somewhere foreign. Seemed to be in a foreign country. And I saw this very deep blue sky. This very deep blue sky. And there was a very deep blue sea.
Good evening. Welcome to Unspeakable Transmissions, Volume 12. For those of you who joined this week, you may remember, or you may not remember, that our last episode was entitled Decimating Oral Pulse Protocol Executed by Global Shadow Government to Lobotomize and Pacify the Populace. Said show has been eliminated from the records, and the curator and minion were taken. We do not know where they are being held by the global shadow government. My name is Gravestalker, and I'm joined this evening by a friend of mine.
Prince Evil.
This week's show is entitled Voices carried eerily on the wind as it ripped through the narrow mountain pass where the expedition discovered the ancient runic writing as if heralding the reawakening of something long dreaming beneath the ice. We hope that you'll stick with us this evening on the coldest night in 14 years.
out. Solid. I'm hollow. There's nothing behind my eyes. I'm a negative from a person. It is as if I never thought anything. I never felt anything. All I want is blackness. Blackness and silence.
You are listening to Unspeakable Transmissions, Volume 12. I am Gravestalker, joined here tonight by Prince Evil.
Hello.
This episode is entitled Voices Carried Eerily on the Wind as it ripped through the narrow mountain pass where the expedition discovered the ancient runic writing, as if heralding the reawakening of something long dreaming beneath the ice. We hope that you've endured our first hour of this show, and we hope that you are not frozen solid on this coldest of nights in 14 years.
Would you like some finger sandwiches before you retire?
Thank you.
WQFS Greensboro. Thank you.
They shall have stars at elbow and foot. Will they go mad, they shall be sane. Will they sink through the sea, they shall rise again. Will lovers be lost, love shall not. And death shall have no more.
It's better this way.
Thank you.
They considered themselves lucky. 77 of the world's most prestigious and talented scientists, diggers, excavators, climbers, and archaeologists swelled with pride as they huddled like a coven around the expedition's leader as she announced to the mission control and the world their successful retrieval of the precious ancient artifacts from deep below the ice. They got even luckier. The ice began to melt around the remaining artifact faster than anyone had anticipated, and more of the massive monolithic structures previously held in a natural cryostasis for unknown centuries began to reemerge. Like worker bees, they swarmed the Cyclopean city, taking in the majesty and grandeur of its mystery with the energy and naivety of small children. Their luck continued. As more and more of the city melted away from its frozen chassis, more and more priceless lost treasures were recovered from antiquity. Unearthly large bones were found buried in enormous barrows, sparkling gold runes etched into ancient gaping archways. Untouched antechambers glimmered with meltwater rushing down their walls. This was truly the discovery of the millennia, and those who had the extreme privilege to bear witness to its unraveling were awed with every new millimeter that thawed out. Each day, a team from the expedition was sent up from the sprawling city to the small encampment at the dig site's edge to relay a message back to mission control about their findings. It took place at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which would have been around 9 p.m. their time, right when the exhausted diggers would be heading to their cots to dream about the magnificent findings they would surely come across the next day. It was never the same person twice. Nobody wanted to miss out on the nonstop action below. On January 15th, the crew relayed that an entire new neighborhood had been uncovered just north of the original dig site. The ice caves that meandered through its streets were barely large enough to crawl through, but the expeditions there had already been groundbreaking. On January 19th, the crew told Mission Command that the melting rate had doubled since the previous week, which meant the entryway to the massive palatial building in Center City had been made accessible much sooner than anticipated. On January 25th, there was no transmission from the expedition. Mission Control surmised this was because a large storm had moved over the area, and the mission leaders hadn't wanted to send anyone up into it. On January 26th, this theory was validated by mission specialist Alan Dembski, who also added that it had not stopped snowing yet, and some of their work was being delayed. Someone in the control room made a joke about their luck turning. From January 31st to February 7th, there were no transmissions. At first, Mission Command believed it to be the final remnants of a large storm, but by the 4th, that storm had passed. They had no explanation for the gap in transmission and were beginning to panic until the 8th, when Dembski returned to the horn to tell them that everything was all right, but that no one would be returning until the 13th, because another storm was heading in. He reported that they had anticipated this, that it was storm season after all, and that they needn't worry. The atmosphere in the control room was that of such relief that a major detail in the transmission was overlooked. It was reported on the 13th, however, when Mission Control noted that the minor static on the other end of the transmission was likely a technical malfunction due to the antenna's weathering in the major storm. Analysis of the tape from the 8th, however, shows that said static was present even before the large storm. By the 16th, the static was so loud that members of Mission Control could no longer hear the transmitting squad at base camp. The following is the 2-minute and 11-second transcription of what was relayed that day. Massive damage to structural integrity. Water rushing everywhere. Melting rates increasing exponentially. Too fast to anticipate. Must abandon western sector. Rotten ice collapsing major central monolith with several casualties. Unnerving crawling sounds heard coming from eastern lower ice cave. must get out. On the 17th, the transmission was only static, and it lasted for only 32 seconds. The transmission reappeared 3 hours later, however, and stayed on for 20 days. Nothing but static was recorded. Several members of Mission Control reportedly heard sounds that resembled whispering in the static. There were very low hopes for the recovery mission, and when the helicopters touched down at the excavation site, they found an enormous watery hole in the middle of the ruined city, but none of the members of the 77-person expedition. Someone made a comment about how their luck had run out. Someone else said that joke wasn't funny. In truth, however, the expedition members were the lucky ones. They were granted a gift there in the ancient ruined city, a gift that would elude the members of the recovery mission and every other living man, woman, and child on Earth. The gift of a quick death. This has been Volume 12 of Unspeakable Transmissions. This episode has been entitled Voices Carried Eerily on the Wind as it ripped through the narrow mountain pass where the expedition discovered the ancient runic writing, as if heralding the reawakening of something long dreaming beneath the ice. I am Grave Stalker, joined here this evening by Prince Evil.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Like I mentioned earlier, your normal host, the Curator, may still be being held by the Global Shadow Government in their large prison deep below the Earth. If you are someone who prays, please say a prayer for him and his loyal minion. Following the end of this song, there will be several PSAs. If that is not something that interests you, you do not have to listen to them. Stay warm. Good night. WQFS Greensboro.
Tune in every Monday night from 8 to 10 to Doomentia with your host Camille for your metal fix. Ranging from Black Sabbath to Burning Witch, from Carcass to Corrupted, from Mayhem to Mortician, the pipes of Pan have weaved a trance. Come and listen.
Can you tell if these vegetables are being contaminated with bacteria that could cause paralysis? Listen, you can't see it either. Use different cutting boards so that the bacteria in raw meats and seafood and their juices doesn't touch prep surfaces for other foods like veggies. Raw food may contain bacteria that can make you very sick or worse. Roughly 3,000 Americans will die from food poisoning this year, but you can keep your family safer. Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
More than 100 million wild animals are killed each year illegally. Poaching is a major threat to our country's wildlife. I'm Tom Barry. I'm an actor with a desire to preserve living space for wildlife. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust does just that. Works with private landowners to protect wildlife, to preserve natural habitats. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, call 800-729-SAVE. That's 800-729-SAVE or visit wildlifelandtrust.org. Thank you.